Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, if you will. I've got so many scriptures tonight, there's no way I can preach them all. I have been preaching and teaching on the subject of prayer. Brother Billy asked me, are those recorded? Could he get them on a CD? And you can. And if you just want the ones on prayer, I've done it now, what's this, about the fourth or fifth week. Tell Tonda on Sunday you want all the sermons just on prayer, and she'll put all of them on one CD, and he wanted to give it to somebody. And so if you want to do that, feel free. And if you want to make a little donation and pay for the CD, that's fine. They probably cost $1 a piece, I don't know. But on the subject of prayer, I guess it's probably the most overlooked subject that we have. Most people don't think much about praying anymore. I don't hear many people preaching on it anymore. So I thought I would start a few sermons to try to encourage people since it is prayer meeting night. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be careful for nothing. And it doesn't mean the kind of careful we're talking about. Don't worry about things. Don't fret. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, I want you to notice, if you'll just break that down a bit, don't worry about things, be careful for nothing. That doesn't mean be carefree, but it means don't worry about things. But in everything by prayer and supplication, but look what he put there, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Well, thank the Lord for what he's, not only what he's, we want him to do, but what he's already done and what he's doing. So, Lord, we want to thank you for what you're about to do with this prayer request. See? And then I want you to notice he said, let your request, we don't tell God what to do. We ask God. So I got to thinking about that, and I'm like most people. I say things without thinking about it. Sometimes I usually say there's three answers to prayer. I'll say it's yes, no, or wait a while. But there's four. There's four answers to prayer. I never thought about it until today. There's four answers to prayer. I'm not going to tell you what the fourth one is till we get there. I see there. I smell wood burning. I know you're trying to figure it out. But everybody usually says there's three answers. You've heard that, right? There's three answers to prayer. Yes, no, and wait. But there's a fourth, so I'm going to make you wait until the fourth. But let's see what the yes is first. In Luke chapter 1, I want to give you the example of a yes. In Luke chapter 1, start with verse 1. There was in the days of Herod, king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God. Now, you don't read that about many people, do you? They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Now, you don't hear that about many people in the Bible. Could anybody in here say that you're righteous and blameless? No. So these were unusually right people. And so it says, and they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. Do you notice how it says well stricken, like it's a sickness? Well, age is really, it's like a sickness. They were well stricken in years, they were old. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, in other words, he had a job to do in the temple every day. He was a priest, he had a certain job. Now some priests took out the ashes. Some brought in the sacrifices. Some cleaned things. They had different jobs. Not every priest made offered sacrifices. Not every priest offered prayers. There were different departments that the Levites were part of. And his wasn't preaching, And it wasn't the sacrifices, but whatever it was, he was faithful at it. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. In other words, there's a certain time of day they'd offer up the incense and they would pray. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. He saw an angel. Now, not everybody in the Bible saw an angel. That was unusual, especially in the New Testament. And when Zacharias saw him, and by the way, you'll always see when it says angels, it says him. Unlike those pictures you got at your house and those statues, there's no baby angels and there's no her angels. They all look like hymns. And when Zacharias, he was troubled and fear fell upon him, but the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Now, I don't know how long he'd been praying, but I know that he had been praying. And I know probably every day, Brother Ron, he'd go do his office, his job there was to burn the incense while people prayed. And I guarantee you, while they prayed, he prayed. And he wanted a boy. He wanted a boy. His wife wanted a boy so they could give him back to the Lord. Y'all still with me? And so the answer was, yes. You're going to get what you've been praying for. Now, I don't know how long he was old. He might have been praying since he was young. I don't know. But there's a perfect example of a yes. God sent this man a message by an angel. Now, we know the whole story. It wasn't just a boy. It was John the Baptist. I mean, he was full of the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. You know, no other man ever. Jesus said there never was another man like John. And so not only did God answer their prayers, but he answered it above and beyond what they could think or ask. They never thought of that. I imagine they might have thought he might turn out to be a priest and carry the ashes out or light the incense. But they never thought about a John the Baptist, you know. And God answered that prayer. Now, I don't know about you, but that ought to encourage me and you that God still answers prayer in the New Testament as well as in the Old. Now, I want you to look at Psalm 66:18. Psalm 66:18. So we always say it's yes or, help me class, yes or? No. All right. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me and hath attended the voice of my prayer. So that's a warning that if we regard iniquity in our heart, God will say what? He'll say no. Y'all still with me? You awake? You're going to need this. One day you're going to need it. So why? Why would God not answer our prayer? The Bible scholar back in the corner from Ohio had to send a man all the way from Ohio to answer that question. Because we regard iniquity in our heart, we have unconfessed sin, we'd rather have the sin than have the answer to prayer. Well, you say, well, preacher, give me some examples. And what you're going to say adultery, homosexuality, stealing. Well, let's just go look. James 4:3. James 4:3 is a perfect example he gives us of the no. Now, we've seen the yes, that's wonderful. But now, here's a reason for the no in James 4:3. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss or wrongly, that ye may consume it upon your lust. You got the wrong attitude. You're praying for something and you got the wrong attitude. You're going to use it wrongly, whatever it is. You want a car. You ain't old enough to get a car. God ain't going to give you no car. He ain't even going to give you a moped. These kids over here ain't no telling what that boy wants right there. But I guarantee you, sometimes we pray for things wrongly with the wrong attitude. Lord, if I could just have this, I'd show them. Well, you're not getting that. Well, Lord, they got their answered prayer. They got that. They won the lottery. Why can't I? By the way, if you ever win the lottery, it wasn't the Lord's will. I'll go ahead and tell you that right now. I'm going to tell that right here. Most of y'all, illustration number 329, in case you heard it. I used to work with a guy. He was a bingo nut. You ever known a bingo nut? This guy was a bingo nut. He talked bingo. He walked bingo. He loved bingo. He spent all his money on bingo. He'd tell me about bingo, and I said, you ought not play bingo. Why? That's gambling. He'd say, why? I said, that's gambling. He says, not gambling. I said, you're trying to win money? He said, yeah. I said, are you putting money down to win money? He said, yeah. I said, then it's gambling. Lottery is too, by the way. He come in one day, he said, hey, I got good news. I said, what? He said, I won at bingo last night. The Lord answered my prayer. I won $300. I said, the Lord didn't give you that $300. The devil did. The devil heard your prayer to keep you gambling. I said, how long have you been playing bingo? He said, years. I said, how many times have you won? He said, just a couple of times. I said, what's the most you ever won? He said, $25, $50. But I won $300 this time. I said, they owe you about $5,000 or $10,000 by now. God didn't answer that prayer. And because you consume it on your lust. You wanted money to consume it on your lust. You was going to waste it. Amen? Now, a lot of us, everybody wants to be a millionaire. By the way, if you were a millionaire, the government takes half of it right away, so you're a $500,000 heir. That's the truth. Y'all look at these rich people and say, boy, they got it made. They pay 50% on that money. Yes. They're going to take 50% of that money. Now, everybody wants to be a millionaire. But did you know everybody can't be a millionaire? You know why? Because it would ruin some people. Look at the stories of these lottery winners on television. They end up in divorce and spend all that money in just days or weeks or months, and then they're dirt broke within a year or two because they consumed it upon their lust. A fella asked me one time, he used to come to my church, and he played the lottery. He'd do $1, $2. He said, preacher, when I win that money in the lottery, I'm going to tithe that $1 million. He said, I'm going to tithe that $1 million. I said, you know how much that is? Now, my thinking might be wrong, but that's $100,000, ain't 10%. I said, you going to tithe the $100,000? He said, yes, sir. When I win that $1 million, I'm going to tithe 10% of it. And I tell you what, I'm going to do it immediately. I said, you won't do it. He said, why? I said, how much you get now? He said, well, I just get a government check. I get $860-something a month. I said, do you tithe that? He said, no, I can't afford to. I said, did you know it's a whole lot easier to give $86 to the church than it is to give $100,000 to the church? You won't tithe it. You'll consume it upon your lust. Amen? So he don't answer our prayers because sometimes what we want, we think's good for us, is not good for us because we're not mature enough to handle it. Well, he said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll give it. No, that's not exactly the way it works. That's what the TV preacher told you. That's not what your pastor told you. And that's not what the Bible told you. Amen? Yeah, you send me $100,000, I'm going to buy me a new $50 million jet so I can go preach the gospel all over the world. Well, why don't we just take an airline like everybody else? Consume it upon your lust. James chapter 2. We're still on the no. You liked the yes, didn't you? James chapter 2. We all like the yes. Look at verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? How can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yeah, and here's what he's saying. Now, God's going to say no if you've got the ability to do something for somebody else now, and you don't do it with what you have now. He's not going to give you more because you look at people and say, man, I hate it. You're naked, you're cold, you're hungry. Well, go in peace. It happens all the time. That's right. And the people that do that to that man, now I'm not talking about some drunk standing out there staggering, going to buy him another bottle, or a crackhead going to buy him another rock. I'm talking about somebody that's really destitute. They need help, whether a Christian or not. And you have the ability to help, and you don't do it. Why would God give you any more? Most everybody in this room has been poor. I've been rich. I've been poor. I'm rich now compared to what poor was. Amen? Did you know poor people help poor people more than rich people help poor people? It's harder to let it go when you got it, when you got a bunch of it. You get greedy and you consume it on your own lust. I better go on. Look at Matthew 17. And I'm still on the no. You want me to get back on the yes, don't you? Matthew 17, if you will. Look at Matthew 17. Matthew 17. Look at verse 19. Matthew 17, 19 and 20. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Now they tried to cast out a demon, couldn't. He came along and did it. Why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, and you say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You know what he's saying? You're faithless. Now he didn't say every mountain you pointed at and told it to be moved, it was going to be moved. But he said, you don't have any faith, and if you had just enough faith to be the size of a grain of mustard seed, you could do a whole lot more. But you told that demon to come out, and you didn't really believe it was coming out. You just said that. Now, a lot of times people will pray for something, but we really don't believe God's going to do it. Come on. Walk in the hospital, Brother Ron, pray for somebody, and then when you go out, they say, oh, I don't know, he ain't going to make it. Well, of course he ain't. Just ask the Lord to heal him. You know. Faithless. When you don't believe it, it ain't going to work. Well, Lord, help me. I'm in a bad place down here. And then you turn around and you say, well, I ain't never had nothing. I ain't never going to have nothing. No, you're not. You're not. Because you don't have the faith to believe what you ask for. Amen. He'll say no every time because you don't really believe it. Why should he do it? You say, well, he has to prove himself. No, God doesn't have to prove himself. The only reason he answers our prayers is because he loves us, not because he proves himself. He don't have to prove. He was here before you got here. He'll be here when you're dead and gone. It ain't got nothing to do with proving himself. He does it out of mercy and grace and love. And if you don't love him enough to believe that he'll do what he said he'll do, then he's not going to do it. I wasn't here. I was out of town. Rudy walked in the hospital up there with Sister Hazel. They just told her it's about over, hadn't it? This is it. Call your family. And she said, Rudy walked up that hall. He looked like an angel. He walked in there and prayed. We prayed out of town. Other people got to praying. And it wasn't a day before things started getting better, was it, Sister Hazel? But don't ever go somewhere and pray over somebody sick and say, Lord, if you can. Don't even think that. He can do anything. Yes, I've seen him prove doctors wrong so many times, it's unbelievable. Yes. And it's not because the doctors are stupid. They're well educated. They know what they're talking about. They just don't know what God can do. That's Well, few of them do. That doctor told me, when my mama was 90, I guess 97 now, 96, 97, that old doctor said, well, we'll have to cut her leg off at the knee. Next day I go in there and they said, well, we might have to cut it off at the hip. I said, you're not doing that. She'll die. She won't live through that. She's 96, 97 years old. She's not going to live. She'll never recover. She'll die. Well, that's what we got to do, or it'll spread and kill her. I said, you better think of something else to do. He said, well, we got this little old doctor. He just got out of medical school. Maybe he's got some tricks. So I come in there a day or two later, and she's got these patches all up there in her leg and on her feet, and her color's coming back in her toes, and they're turning right again and all this stuff. And I asked the nurse, I said, what's that? She said, those are nitroglycerin patches. That boy doctor said that they open up the blood vessels like they do when you got a heart attack. They open up the blood vessels so she can get some blood down there and save that foot. So I talked to him. He said, we're going to take that toe off. I'm sorry I can't save the toe, but we can save that foot, and we certainly ain't cutting her leg off. He said, now I believe in prayer. You pray and I'll do the work. I said, amen, let's pray right now. And we prayed, and he went there and cut that toe off and saved her foot, saved her leg, saved her life. God gave that boy the ability to do that. That old preacher said, just cut it off, let her die, you know. But you got to have some faith in it. Now, he'll say yes if you believe it. Now, I know there's conditions to prayer. I know if it's his will, I know that. And I know everybody can't live forever. I know everybody's got to go out some way. It may be sickness, car accident, heart attack, whatever. I know people can't live forever, but I know this, God can do anything. And I'm going to expect him to do it. And if he don't do it, I'll say, well, not my will, but thy will, Lord. You could have, but you saw fit not to. Amen? But you got to have the faith to believe that. And I have people call me to come to the hospital and see them. Not they think I got something, ain't nothing in me. But they'll call me, and they got a pastor. They have a church. They have a pastor. And they'll call me and ask me to come pray for them. I said, why don't you get your pastor? Well, the first thing they usually say is he don't make house calls. That's the way they are now. Or either they'll say, he just don't believe it like you do. This lady right here told her, you need to get a medical doctor for that. No, God can do anything. Now get you a medical doctor, but pray too. And then sometimes God will fix it before the doctor can, and the doctor will scratch his head and say, I don't know how that happened. They've done that on Edward 3 times now. He died for 20 minutes one time. And they say he don't have no brain damage, but I've talked to him several times. I'm not real sure. Tell him I said that. Tell him I'm coming to see him tomorrow. He loves me. Now, if you don't believe it, don't expect to get nothing. All right. Lamentations 3:25. Lamentations. I'm skipping a lot. Lamentations 3:25, if you will. And I know that's hard to find. Page 1029. You ain't got it? Y'all probably two of them that left your Bibles up here and I done give them to somebody else. 1029, y'all got it? Page 1029. Lamentations 3:25. Come on. Right past Jeremiah. Right before Ezekiel. I'm going to make Bible students out of y'all if he kills you. Lamentations 3:25. Look at it with me. The Lord is good unto them that wait. Now, sometimes he says, well, I'm going to do that. I believe you got the faith for it. It is my will, but I'm not going to do it right now. You're going to have to wait a while. Sometimes we're not ready to receive what he wants to give us. Sometimes we're not ready for what we pray for, just like with the money and things like that. You're a lot more ready for financial help when you're 40 or 50 something than you were when you were 20 something. That's when you would consume it on your own lust. But sometimes he just says, wait. And you know what? I think our Heavenly Father knows what's best in the who, what, when, and where department, don't you?
Yes.
I don't. Sometimes people come to me and they'll ask me some kind of question they've been praying about. And they'll say, what do you think? I say, I don't know. What? You're the preacher. I'm not God. I don't know. I don't know everything. You just keep praying. And if God wants to give it to you, he'll give it to you when it's right. And if he gives it to you when it's not right, it's going to hurt you, not help you. And he knows that. Now, the devil will give you what you want as soon as you ask for it. Y'all been waiting for this last one, haven't you? Turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Look at verse 26. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, and a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem to worship. I want you to know, he was going home without what he came looking for. You know why? What he was looking for and asking for was not what he needed. He had went from Egypt to Israel to adopt the Hebrew religion. He had went to the temple to find the Lord in the ceremonies and the offerings. And he was leaving empty-handed. He didn't find the Lord. So now God gets Philip and he raises Philip up and he tells him, he says, I want you to get up. Now, Philip was preaching revival. He was a preaching deacon. He was preaching revival. And he said, I want you to leave this crowd and I want to send you out here in the desert. Now, that's not what Philip was expecting. It was something else. And it wasn't what the Ethiopian eunuch, I'm sure, had been praying about, leaving Egypt, going all the way to Israel to find God. He's on his way home disappointed. And God brings him Philip, who gives him Jesus Christ. So he got something else other than what he was praying for, but it was exactly what he needed, see. Now, look at Acts 16:7. Something else, in case you hadn't figured out what that word is. Acts 16, look at verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. In other words, that's an old... Suffered is an old English word for allowed or let. He didn't let him. He didn't want him to go. He didn't want him to go to Mysia, and I say Mysia, but Mysia. And he went on down to Troas. So God said, now, yes, I'm going to give you what you want. You want to win people, you want to spread the word, you want to preach the gospel. No, I'm not going to give you where you want to go, but I'm not going to make you wait. I'm going to sidetrack you, and I'm going to give you something else other than what you were wanting, which was to preach the gospel in one place. I'm sending you to another place, something else. So sometimes we pray, and Brother Ron, God will say, now I'm not giving you this that you're praying for, but I'm going to give you something else. And it's usually better than what we were praying for. Because we don't know what to pray for. The Bible teaches us that. We don't even know what to pray for. So the Spirit prays for us, and sometimes, Sister Shirley, he says, I know what you've been praying for, and I'm going to give it to you, but I'm not going to give you what you want, so it's a yes and a no. I'm going to give you something else that's a lot better than what you've been asking for. Is that not it? Some of you were going to dead churches. Churches were dying or were already dead. you were dry, you were thirsty, you were hungry, and somehow the Lord sent you down here, but you wasn't looking for here, you were looking for your church to get fixed. You were looking for a better pastor, preacher, deacon board, or whatever it was. You were looking for the other people in that church to want what you wanted, and they didn't want what you wanted. They wasn't praying for it. So God sent you down here. He said, now I'm going to give you what you want, but I'm not going to give you that here. I'm going to send you somewhere else to get that. See, y'all still with me?
Yes.
That's profound, isn't it?
It is.
Some little old girl pray for wanting to marry some little Romeo. You know, he's got that European hairdo. I laugh every time I see one. And he's so cute. He's so cute. That's what y'all say. He's so cute. And God doesn't let him have him. And then she runs in this little short guy, and you can tell his hair is going to fall out before he's 20 years old. But he's the godliest little old fellow you're ever going to find. He's going to grow up to be somebody for Jesus. And he gives her that guy instead of one she was asking for. He gave her what she was asking for, but just gave her better. Amen? Same way with wives sometimes, you know. Everything that glitters ain't gold. Amen? Now, there's four ways he answers prayer. Say it with me. Yes. No, wait, something else. Amen? So now you know to wait on the Lord, and He'll give you what you need, when you need it, how you need it, or He won't give you nothing at all because you just don't believe that He can. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God that never changes.